Okay.
I was just getting it ready.
Just you.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Boy, it started out great. The sun's shining now. It's a little sticky out there. You want to stay inside here, okay? That's right. Thank you for coming out today. Let's see. We're going to start out with 814. Yes.
That's second.
That's second? So what's the first one?
His name is Wonderful.
No. Where's it at? Is it in the back of the book? Oh, it's in 811, I believe. We got some confusion going here. There we go. So turn to 811, please. 811, and let's stand. Here we go. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's a great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. A little shower this morning, Lord, a little thunder and lightning. Thank you, Lord, for the great day, the opportunity to be here to worship you today. Thanks for those that came out, Lord. Lord, what a great nation we live in, Lord. It is a true gift from you, that what we have here. But, Lord, on display yesterday was what happened and what went on, Lord, is the hate that's in this in our country today, Lord. I just pray that people wise up, Lord. Truly, you are a God of love. And, love, Lord, we do need to love each other. It's your commandment. But, Lord, it ain't there. And I just pray, Lord, that people would see, understand, and realize what went on. And it's a culmination, Lord, of sin. I just pray, Lord, that we'd get ourselves right. Help us to remember, Lord, what's coming. Our pastor's going to be preaching today, Lord. I just ask you, guide him, you direct him. You'd make him the strongest man in the room today, Lord, for what you have in his heart, Lord, that he's going to be bringing out to us today, that it might speak to someone here today that really needs to hear it, Lord. I pray if someone needs to get to know you today, Lord, they'd do so before they leave. I just pray for a good time here, Lord, as we sit and listen. Just guide and direct, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now to 623 there.
No, you're 814 with the men.
Okay, us guys are going to be singing here. Come on up here. 814, you want to turn? Because I think we're going to have the congregation sing along with us when we get going here. We'll see somebody going to move. Oh, here they come. We'll get it right. You want up here or you want down here?
Yes, up there's fine.
Okay.
We're leaving. We can go to the fire loft if you want to.
I think we, yeah, that's fine.
I am not going to
Eli is going to
say, come on,
is that okay, guys?
Yeah.
Good to have you.
That's good.
All right, this is a congregational song, not a special, so please join us, 814.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise be? Setting mistakes for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, singing greater far than all my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus, wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling seas, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, singing greater far than all my sins change.
Guys, let's see. We got announcements. See, I'm on the wrong page. Here we go. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Make sure you turn out for that. A little study in John, I believe we're going there. Not John, but Book of John. Personal evangelism on the 23rd. Wilton Bible Studies the 25th. Deacon meeting on the 18th. That's this week. Women's Bible, or is it next week? Yeah, it is this week. Women's Bible Studies on the 16th at 6 at the Community Center. Please check with Kathy if you got any questions. Men's Bible study the 27th. Check with Pastor on these dates. Denny's going to be gone for a while. Spire Nursing Home Bible studies on the 25th at 2. Check with Marlon on the August date. We have fellowship coming up here on the 28th. Ginger, Faith, and Brenda are in charge on that one. And don't forget, we're going to have a service down at Drake Park on the 22nd of September. And I think that's it. So, guys, if you'll come forward, we'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for getting us here today. The beautiful day, Lord, has turned out to be. Thanks so much for my church family being here today, Lord, and others that have asked or come out here today to hear just a bit of scripture reading and preaching from our pastor today, Lord. Just ask you to guide and direct, Lord. And be with us now as we take this offering, Lord. Help us to remember all that you've done for us, Lord. Be with the gift and the givers we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
ready to go.
Okay. Autumn's going to sing a play for us now.
When we went to family camp at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp the week before, our family did, and we had a great time there. There was some great preaching of the word, and one of the songs they taught us was called All I Have is Christ, and it was a pretty powerful song, very convicting, beautiful song about how God saves us with his grace through Jesus. So may this be a pleasing thing to him, and may it be received well by you. Was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way, the sin that promised joy in life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you state and led me to the cross, and I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place, you bore the wrath reserved for.
Is Jesus sufficient for you and I? Or are you still searching for more? He's all we need and more. And I want to let you know that today, that He loves us dearly and He is all we need. Yes, young folks, if you'd like to go down for children's church at this time, that's perfectly good. And it's good to be with the rest of you today. It's nice and cool in here this morning. Hopefully the preaching will heat things up a little bit, though, spiritually, right? But we'll keep the fans and the air conditioning running. I trust, though, that our lives are not in a cool situation today with the Lord, but that you have passion that is heated for Jesus Christ today in your life and in mine. I wanted to say this before we start. Once again, thank you to all of you for your prayers and other assistance that you've given us through food, so on and so forth, finances, other things during this time of situation with Kim and her injury. She is improving, and I know that she'll be back with us soon. It's just going to take a little bit more time, and it's a prudent measure to just, I tell her to just back off for a while. So anyway, we thank you for that, and again, we're glad that to see a good number out today. We know we got a lot of people on vacation and different things, but for who God sent here today, hopefully this message will have relevance. It's a little different than the typical messages I preach, but sometimes I need to preach these type of messages, and it was brought to me under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We'll do our best to get through it today, but the title is Obtaining the Real Message of Scripture and Its Application to People's Lives. What is the real message? We're going to learn today how to interpret Scripture. And I'm going to give you some thoughts on that. You don't have to agree with me, but I appreciate it if you would at least objectively listen to what I have to say about that. And I think God wants us to get His message. And also today, I do not have an outline for you on the screen or in paper, but I suggest you grab a pen and paper. I've got paper in my pocket if you need it, or use the bulletin. And write a few of these things down. Also tonight, as Lonnie mentioned, our evening service, first of all, will be an open forum. So that's where you can come and ask any questions you want, maybe even about this message this morning. If no one has any questions or comments, then we'll go right in and continue on our study of the first chapter of the book of John that we still have to conclude on, as I've been preaching a series here lately on classic passages of Scripture. So come in a more informal atmosphere, and we can ask questions and dialogue. And the key to all this is what? That we grow in Christ, and that we be transformed and changed into a closer, more loving, more rich fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He invites you today, by the way, if you're here apart from Him, if you've never placed your sin under His blood, for forgiveness and for restoration into a walk with Him. That was all done through Jesus' work on the cross, and He is waiting today to hear you and to work with you and to bring you into His family and have a personal walk with Him now and for all eternity. Greetings in the name of the Lord. We're going to take just a moment or two today to, and by the way, if you don't want to take notes, I can give you copies of this message, and you can certainly look at it. And I don't read my messages under the introduction, but the points will be there for you to look at. It's also important to have the Scriptures in front of us. If anyone needs a Bible, raise your hand. Otherwise, you can readily access them if you have your device here today. And the Bible is very much available. The question is, how much do people want to use it? And so it's a very important thing to follow along, because you need to keep me accountable as well to the Scriptures. And so we both have positions today of responsibility, one to another, before the Lord. So anyway, with that said, we're going to take just a few moments of silent prayer, because this is a worship service. This is a time to show the Lord and demonstrate it in a public way today that you love Him and that you are seeking His face in all things of your life. But it could be also a time to repent or confess about things and be prepared now to let the Word speak to your heart through the application of the Holy Spirit. So let's bow for just a few moments. I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll get down to business here on this wonderful day God's given us, 14th of July already, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I cannot believe this year is almost half over. Well, it's over half over, right? So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this time of quiet. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to find those times during our days, Lord, where we can get apart with you for just a few moments and come to you face to face and acknowledge, Lord, our weaknesses, but also your strengths and your grace and mercy that's shed abundantly upon us. Lord, today, as I was just praying there a moment, I want to worship you today, Lord. I want you to know that I understand who you are and what you are and how awesome you are. But Lord, I ask your forgiveness at the same time for not always displaying that, Lord, or showing that, Lord, to others in myself and to you, Lord. And what I'm acknowledging is that I'm a defective, sinful person, Lord. But I thank you that you came for people like me. You did not abandon us when the race fell into sin, but you rescued us, and that was done at the power and place of the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb. So today, Lord, we approach you as a living Lord and Savior, but also a loving Lord and Savior, and I thank you, Lord, for that today, that you do care about each and every one of us. You've prepared a place for all who will receive it for all eternity in your presence. And so, Lord, today that message always is tied into everything we do. But Lord, another valuable gift that you've given us today is your word. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that most people today fail to plumb the depths of it, and that includes myself. But Lord, a really wonderful gift of your word is so often avoided, dissed, whatever you want to use for terminology, Lord, people are not interested. Oh Lord, immerse us in that conversation with you through your word. Now, Lord, we realize today we have people in our midst, in our numbers, that are traveling, several that are on lengthy vacations. Others, Lord, that are not well today, some that are recovering from surgery, other maladies that are common in the human condition. It could be, too, Lord, that there are people that are angry. Maybe there was a fight in a family this week. Other things that happened, Lord, that caused to have bitter hearts. We know there are people that maybe could have been here today, Lord, but chose not to. And so I pray, Lord, for their souls and for their hearts, and that the gathering of the church is a mandate that you've given us. You've said that we need it. And so, Lord, help us to be fed and to be cared for here, or challenged or rebuked, Lord, in our thinking through the gathering of the church and the preaching of the word. Lord, that's why we gather today. It's celebration of the resurrection, new life, and you as our living Savior and Lord. So, Lord, we think of all those things. We pray for our community today around us, Lord, the Muscatine, Fruitland area, wherever people come from around here. Lord, we know that we have a mission field that's right at our doorstep, if we'll what? If we'll go into it. Help us, Lord, to be bold and brave, to confront people with your love, and again, Lord, to be a reflector of your light in the places that you have put us. Now, Lord, that brings it down to me here as we start. And you know this, Lord, I'm weak. I'm not worthy. I could come up with a lot of W's here, Lord. But I need your help, as always, to bring this message. Now, Lord, all I can do is rely on you. And another W, the work that you led me to do in the Word this week, may you prosper now as I bring it forth, for your honor and glory, Lord, and for your use, in Jesus' name. And by the way, Lord, may the Holy Spirit have free reign in the hearts today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, I would like to take just a few moments this morning, even though this might turn into a two-part message. We'll see how it goes, to discuss obtaining God's genuine message, his genuine message that he has for us from his word, the Bible. I am constantly challenged as I talk to people, both within the sphere of influence of the Christian community, but even more so by the community that lies without that area that are apart from Jesus Christ and are wondering. And I want to let you know, folks, today, there are some people out there that are wondering. Now, you probably all thought I'd have something to say about the events of last night. I've been preaching about that for years. Why is this church building not filled this morning? I'll tell you why, folks. Because they don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. Or they're not ready to hear it yet. But folks, this is not about the United States or people. It's about Jesus. And when we get this figured out, that His kingdom is not of this world, and the effects of sin and the people's lives that have strayed from Him, folks, this is just the beginning of what's coming. For unbelievers, but we may experience some of that too, but folks, this is a symptom of people that have turned their back on God. And so we'll see how this all transpires, but I'm going to tell you today, I'm not a gambling man, but I'm going to place my confidence in Jesus. Because I believe He is who He said He is. He's demonstrated what He's done, and His way is going to prevail, and His will also prevail. The key is, are we on that side of it? Well, folks, it comes back to Scripture. And what we have in front of us in this 66-book Bible, as I hope to bring forth to you today, is rock-solid evidence. It's irrefutable evidence. And it's where people will be changed, because faith comes by hearing, or cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's just the simple fact. It's the Word that will change people. It's not my opinion. It's not what the television commentators say or anything else. But if people are going to be directed to God, it's going to happen through His Word when they are turned on to Him through the power of the Holy Spirit and called to salvation, or as Christians currently, called to grow and be transformed and to be prepared for what God's plan of action is. Anyway, I'm constantly challenged on this issue from people of all stripes that either don't know what to think or do not trust or believe God's revealed word in the 66-book Bible. I could preach for weeks about all this stuff, but I hope to give you enough just to give your confidence and a boost and to challenge you about being involved in the study of the Word. If you have questions, though, as I said, come tonight for open forum, or you can talk with me anytime if you have some thoughts about this. So this morning, briefly finding the real message from Scripture. How do we do it that God has intended all the time? So I have 5 points in this message. The first point is this. We must be prepared and knowledgeable in the Word to refute what is not true and to promote what is true. Let me just say that is first of all important in our own lives, in our own walk with God. But we as Bible-believing Christians, if you are one here today, also need to know how to handle God's Word and know about God, that you can refute and you can confirm the things that are either untrue or that are true that revolve around the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you here this morning, I have my hand raised. I tell you pretty well accurately where I'm at. I don't know everything about God's Word. And I've got to tell you something. You could study your entire life and you'll never plumb the depths of God's Word. But I will say this, if you'll put your nose to the grindstone with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can be thoroughly educated in God's program and in Him. It can be done. And you can do exactly what the Scripture I'm going to share with you is. But folks, it ought to be a mandate for us to be fluent in the Scriptures and to understand what they mean. Because most people today say the Scriptures are subject to interpretation. And I say to this, they may be subject to it, but there is a correct interpretation of Scripture, and you can know it today. What I'm going to give you this morning is one of those ways. I believe it's the only way that you can interpret Scripture. And yes, this is not a message that's going to be popular, probably, and some of you may be bored, but it is very important. So thusly, I have to give that to you, right? Not the boredom, but I need to give you this information, because maybe some are not aware of all these things. But the bottom line I want to start with this morning is this, Titus 1, 9 through 11. And let me just say, I preach these messages to myself first, okay? And as a person here who's been called to be a pastor, an under-shepherd of God's flock, this is a mandate that comes to me. But let me just tell you this. In a sense, all of you, and by the way, that word pastor there has three different meanings that are found in the Greek. And the one I want to focus on briefly that we'll touch on here in Scripture is every one of us in this room has a responsibility for someone. It's the word episkopos or bishop in the Greek. You all have a responsibility for someone here, right? First of all, to who? Yourself and to God. But Titus 1, 9 through 11, by the way, there's only one chapter. No, there's three. But Titus chapter 1, 1 or 9 through 11 to begin with here this morning is Paul's admonition to Titus. And here's what he says. He says, holding fast, you see it there, the faithful word as he has been taught. Now, I don't want to get bogged down with this, but there again, we need to be under the teaching of the word. Now, most of you are going to say, well, Pastor John, I can't go to seminary. I can't do higher education. I don't even have time to take classes over the internet. And most people would say, I don't even have time to come and hear you yammer. You don't have to do any of those, even though all those will be beneficial. But what you've got to do is go to the master teacher. You've got to go to the Holy Spirit and into the Word and submit yourself to education. By the way, education's always expensive. I've paid a lot of money for education, and I'm not even talking about academic education. I told you before, I've had educational experiences like the barrel plant that cost me $400,000. I learned some things at the barrel plant, but it was expensive. You've had those kind of things. It's called the school of life. But if you'll incorporate God's word in these kind of things, He'll teach you. But if you're like a lot of people that rebel against teaching, you're dead in the water. True? But here's what Paul said to people that are responsible, and in this case to a pastor. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. You know, one of the qualifications of a pastor is that they be teachable. Now talk to me about the old hard-headed German up here before you. Am I a little hard-headed? I've always said I'm a hard-headed German, but not as bad as the people from Durant. You cannot be hard-headed with God because we've got to be soft and tender to listen to what He teaches us. But let's go on here. As He hath been taught, it implies education, folks, in the Word. That he may be able by sound doctrine. Doctrine means truth or irrefutable truth, both to exhort and to convince. In the King James it says here, the gainsayers. Exhort means to convict. That the power of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit touches the heart and says, I'm on the wrong track. Or I need to be going about this in a different way. I'm thinking wrong. Correction, okay? And it says not only to exhort, but to convince, or we would use the word contradict, the gainsayers. The gainsayers are those who are out for the wrong motives and teaching the wrong things about God for personal gain. So in other words, we need to know what we're talking about because we need to be able to refute false teaching. I'm not going to tell you that I know every refutation there is to false teaching, but folks, God has opened my eyes through the years. His answers are in the book. And I'll tell you what, you have solid stuff here to bring to people. You're not lost. Don't be afraid to go out there if you know the Word of God. Be afraid to go out there if you haven't taken the opportunity to learn the Word of God. But the best time to start to do that is when, if you haven't? Today, now. And get out there. Because here's what Paul told Titus. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially in that time and in Titus's territory there, they of the circumcision. This was the Judaizers, the people that claimed as Jews to be converted, but were still teaching to go back to some of the tenets of Judaism, which were wrong. okay, whose mouths must be stopped. By the way, you can get into a good argument or exchange. I prefer not to argue with people. In fact, if people begin to argue with me, I tell them, you know what? I'll present my evidence and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not here to have a battle with you. Oh, if we could do that with the political scene. Just present your thoughts. Keep the personal innuendo out of it. Let the Bible speak for itself. Let the Holy Spirit have free reign with people. But what Paul is telling Titus, he says, this wrong teaching, this wrong stuff needs to be put to a stop, and you will have a responsibility and a privilege to do it. Because what this wrong teaching does, folks, if a church goes wrong, if you go wrong in your life, you're going to lead others to destruction as well. And what Paul says here, because what will happen if it is not stopped is it will subvert. You see that there, my friends? The mouths must be stopped who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. And, of course, the bottom line of that is for filthy lucre's sake, for money. And, folks, you remember Dr. Colas when he came down here from the National Council, or the American Council of Christian Churches, not the National Council of Christian Churches. Dr. Colas was an old GARB guy who took a hike from it. They stood on the truth. And he came down here, remember what he said in his gravelly voice? Follow the money trail. You'll know where people are at. And he told it right. And folks, yeah, he sat right over here, didn't he, Lonnie? Yeah, he did. Man, I tell you, I can't believe where we've gone to with some of these old folks that called it right. And we didn't listen to them like we should have, just like people today aren't listening. You know, the whole thing. But Paul told Titus, he says, this is how it is. You'll know, because in the end of the false teaching, it's for their own gain. And folks, you be careful what you take in. You be careful right here at Fruitland what you take from this pulpit. You check it, and you test it, and you keep me accountable to the Word of God. It's important. That's how the church and its purity is maintained, by maintaining a tie to God's Word that is accurate and truthful. Truthful. Okay, anyway. So we need to establish and constantly improve our truth basis of operation. And of course, Ephesians 4:15 factors into this. We have to speak the truth, but we are mandated to speak it in love. We are not to clobber people and defeat people with the truth. We are simply to present it in love. It is the work of the master teacher, the Holy Spirit, to convict and to change the hearts. All right, there's point one. We got it? We're responsible. You're responsible. I'm responsible. And we better get it right. Point two today. We need to choose an accurate method, and I'm going to use the word science. Can anyone tell me anything about science? Science is really something that says you can do an experiment or do an investigation that it will, if you reach a conclusion that never changes, okay, it is an acceptable practice. For instance, how it was all determined, gravity works at a force of 9.8 meters per second squared. It never changes. By the way, science, once again, confirms God. Or you could look at it the other way. God, real science, shows who He is through it. Consistency. We need to have that same thing as we interpret Scripture, because if you do all kinds of different thinking about Scripture, and when you especially put into Scripture and say, well, I think this is what it says, you're walking in dangerous territory. So what I'm going to give you this morning is just a brief look into that today. But we need to choose an accurate method, or you can use the word science, that is repetitive and that is consistent all the time to interpret the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a big word that you want to write down. It's the word hermeneutic. Or hermeneutics. Any of you ever heard? No, I didn't say hermeneutic. It's how we investigate Scripture in an orderly manner to achieve the message that God has in it for us. Okay? Hermeneutics, that's the word. And what I'm going to talk to us about this morning is how that's done. But I'd like to begin, first of all, just to confirm something I've already said out of 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, so I can show this to you, 10 through 16. And that is, again, who the master teacher is here. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 16. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. Paul here is talking about the wisdom of God, the heavenly wisdom. Actually, I do want to back up to verse 9. Paul says this to the Corinthian church, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." But, and we're always thankful for buts in the Bible, a conjunction. But God has what? He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. There's the master teacher. Folks, if you are here today apart from the from salvation in Jesus Christ and are not a possessor of the Holy Spirit, you will not understand the Bible. That's the bottom line. You may understand it as God calls you to salvation about needing to be saved, but folks, that's why the world today says, I can't make heads or tails out of the Bible. Because without the possession and the personality of the Holy Spirit being within you, He is the master teacher who opens your heart and your mind and illumines you, and you find out as we grow, oh, this all fits together. Oh, this is right. See, this is valuable for me. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit reveals the mysteries of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We have to submit to the teaching and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit unlocks the message of Scripture. Which things, and how far was I going to go through 16? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, look at this carefully, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Friends, that is a mind that is opened through the lens of the Spirit. Concluding with verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? None of us. But yet, through the privilege, again, of the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the opening of the hearts," Paul concludes that verse. He says, "But we have the mind of Christ." We can know what God's message is, but we must investigate it and we must orderly interpret it to receive the accurate message. Otherwise, we stand the risk of what? Receiving things that are not true, receiving things that are deception, who are the work of God's adversary and our adversary, Satan. So folks, this is the hermeneutic that I have been led. And you can choose what you want. But I believe, again, when you look at this and the Spirit opens your heart, this is the way that we interpret Scripture. And I'm going to give that to you briefly. I believe that the first way we look at Scripture is to look at it literally. For instance, today, if Gene Rock came up to me and said, "John, I'm really having a great day today," how would I take that from Gene Rock? Would I think about that and say, well, I don't know if he really means that. He doesn't look like he's having a good day, so I don't know if he has. How would you do that? If someone says, "I'm having a good day," you say, "Praise God." And you what? You believe that person, right? Now, if I come up to you today and say, "I have $1 million I'm going to give to you today," You may not want to take that literally. But folks, it's common communication. We take things at face value until we are proven differently. We don't interpret around all these things. We take the literal interpretation first. Folks, that's how we start with the Bible in this hermeneutic, which I call the literal, grammatical, historical, and then the symbolic interpretation of Scripture, which I'll explain very briefly today. But this is a pattern that you want to do. And not everything can be taken literally in the Bible. And I'll explain that later. But the first way we approach any passage of Scripture is to see what the literal message of that is. We don't try to interpret it in some vague way, but we take it for what it says. The second way that we do that is through grammatical information that we get. And grammatics are filled with many things. It's not one of my favorite things to study, the mechanics of languages. But folks, there is an airtight way about it. And the Bible, if you study in the original language, is airtight. And the original languages expand upon what we see in our English Bibles. Okay, folks? The Bible was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and some Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. But folks, the way things are done, the genders, the nouns, the verbs, everything else is to be taken into account in what it says. Okay? And if the main thing with this is when we interpret things, we go consistently. So the first thing is the literal message. Then to buttress that, we look at the grammatical point of that. And I won't get there today, but I'll show you in one area that I've been challenged on a lot lately, how I have arrived, and you can arrive, at what the Bible says, and what it says is true. The third thing that we look at in this pattern of interpretation is the historical setting. The Bible is the greatest history book ever written. But the Bible is also supplemented by human history. Not in its message, but it shows of what took place in a culture, in an era, so on and so forth. It helps us to further understand the intent that the author of Scripture had to reach the people that it was given to. In other words, even though we all are the same throughout the ages, there are different scenarios. We talked about that in the Inquisitor's class this morning. Even though nothing has changed under the sun, according to Solomon, it's a different chapter of a different book. We live today on a planet that has around, what, 8 billion people? To the best of my knowledge, our planet has not seen that type of population. We have not seen the exact demographics of the way things are done today. For any of us that have been around a while, things have changed. Devon, you're living in a little different kind of a world, even though essentially it's the same than I was at your age. See, and that's why I pray for you every day, Devon. And you need to pray for me because I'm old and antiquated. And we've talked about all those things before. But folks, the historical setting gives us another basis in what is going on. The Bible is the ultimate history book. And then, of course, yes, the Bible does use some symbolic ways as well. There are things like metaphors, and we need to teach that. Now, when Jesus taught in John 15, what's that chapter about, by the way? The vine and the branches. Was Jesus talking to a grape vineyard when he taught that? No, he was comparing us to the vine and he being the vine and we being the branches. He was giving us what's known as a metaphor. It's not literal what he said, but it does what? It causes us to consider the connection in a better way to help us realize what that connection is that he's trying to get across to us. That's a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. It's not literal. I am not literally a branch, okay? I'm not a grapevine. But you see the significance there of how that's done. So we have to throw that into it. And several other things. There's parts of the Bible that are written poetically. There's the figure of speech. Searching here again. An allegory, for example. An allegory is a story that is not always real, okay? And the parables. Now, some of the parables are real because Jesus used names. But parables are a allegory. They are a scenario that is being explained that helps us to illustrate and to receive a truth that is being explained. And there are many more things in Scripture, but that's how you investigate it down that line, and I can help you further on that. I'd like you to turn your Bibles quickly to Isaiah 55, 12, actually to 11, just to show you one. And again, we could go a long time on all this, but I hope you get this. Isaiah 55, and just to throw this out about the word, let's look at verse 11 before we go to 12. Here God's telling Isaiah, he says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." Folks, essentially this is what's going on today. You either are going to understand God's word or you're not. God's going to know your heart, and it is involved with the word. You're either going to accept it or you're going to reject it. It does not return useless to God. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The word of God and our acceptance of it and our understanding of it is going to either draw us closer to God or separate us further from it. That's where it is, bottom line. Now to verse 12. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." By the way, folks, this is another figure of speech, and it's called personification. And that's what we're going to see here. You have to look at all these different things. Is this a literal interpretation here? Probably not, but it's a personification. Let's read this together. "You will be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing." When's the last time you heard a mountain sing? I know the birds, by the way, it does sing. But it's a personification. It's causing us to understand that God's creation is rejoicing in essence, when we know that if we go into the Rocky Mountains, they are not going to sing to us. But their very presence and how God describes this here to Isaiah shows that everything rejoices to him and sings to him. "And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Well, the last I looked, trees do not have hands. Is that true? They have branches. And we can think of that, but the intended meaning here is what? It's to bring a personification to God's creation that shows how his creation rejoices in their God. See? But we can't take that literally, so we have to understand that it is a figure of speech, and in this case, it's personification. So there's many examples of that. But as I talk about hermeneutics, let me just say this. This method that I have just given you, the basics of it, and is not by any means the whole picture, but it will be a consistent provider of interpretation of the Scriptures. All Scriptures, all the time, this method. By the way, there's other methods out there. You know, some people debate everything. They want to rethink around Scripture. Take it literally first and go down through the steps. But if you use the same practice all the time, the same method, you will return with an accurate, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you will return with an accurate message of what God has in Scripture for you and I. Praise God. Multiple forms will always bring about inconsistency. Okay? By the way, never think about Scripture and say, I think this is what it means. I feel this is what it means. No, we need to search for what God has said in the Scriptures. Consistency. Inconsistency will cause us to not be able to arrive at an accurate conclusion all the time. So I believe this. You don't have to agree with me. This method is the correct approach to understanding God's message. Well, no one threw tomatoes at me. Eggs might be next. We got about 3 minutes left, so I'm going to lay into this. Point three. We'll be back next week unless the Lord shuts me down or shuts us down or takes us home. Okay? And finish this, but this is important. Point three. One of the things we need to understand is that, and I'm only going to give you a few of these things, but Scripture itself says it's reliable. Prove it wrong. Scripture itself says it is reliable and that it is truth. Prove it wrong to me. Ask people that say, I don't believe that Bible. Prove it. You can't. Here it is, John 17:17. You can look at some of these. Most of them I can quote, but sometimes not as accurately as I should. I think John 17:17, check me out on this, says, sanctify them through thy truth. Jesus' words. Through thy truth. Sanctify means separate them through my word. Through my word. And then he says, thy word, meaning the Father's word, is truth. Okay? That's John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It claims to be truth. By the way, the author of Scripture is who? Jesus. Who is the way, the truth? John chapter 14. Go to Matthew 24:35. I'm getting all excited here. I'm starting to shake. Matthew 24:35. Here's the words of Jesus again. I know that because it's in red letters in my Bible. Read the context. Don't worry about the color of the letters. It's all His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 48, back in the Old Testament again. Isaiah 40 and verse 8. I can get everything turned here. Isaiah 48. The grass withereth. By the way, it hasn't been withering much lately with all this rain. We had a fire at our house the other day. Round bales caught fire. From? Spontaneous combustion. Last year we were whining, we don't have enough rain, Lord. This year we got too much. Too much water. Water goes down into those bales when they're packed tightly. Heat is produced. I saw smoke coming out of the hay pile. I called the boys. I said, you got problems. What? What do you? I said, you got problems. I said, when you pull that apart, you be careful. You get oxygen in that, and the whole thing is going to go up. I rest my case. I leave it in God's hands. Isaiah 48. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. But, there's that word but again in the Bible. But, the word of our God shall stand forever. And finally this morning, Psalm 119:89. We'll come back next week, Lord willing. Or if you can't be here, let me know. I'll get the word to you here. Psalm 119. By the way, what's Psalm 119 all about? The Word of God. It's an acrostic with the Hebrew alphabet, and he goes all the way through it, and it's all confirmation of the quality, the quantity, the consistency, and the power of the Word of God. Here it is, Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. What's that word settled mean? It's unmovable. It's there. Folks, I'll close with this, and we'll get into this more next week. A lot of people say, how do you know the Bible's true? Because God just told you here, His word's going to be preserved. Well, I don't think that's right. I think the Roman Catholic Church has other books that have been hidden. We don't know everything. We know that some of the manuscripts are... Folks, I'm going to tell you today, God has preserved His Word, and it's right in front of you. You can argue about some of those things, but if God said His Word is not going to be gone, He's given you these I don't want to use that word cardinal, because that is a connotation in Roman Catholicism, but He's given you these key promises. His Word is not missing. The things you need to know have been preserved. And they're right in front of your nose. And yet people say, I don't believe because. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're about 1,800, 1,900 years. I went to Wilton, so my mathematics. The people that worked through this canon of Scripture were a lot closer to Jesus than the ones that when it was written. And I'll get into all that about how we know this is God's word, because let me just say in a nutshell, the authors claimed that it was not theirs, it was his. How many human beings, if they had done a master production or a master work, wouldn't have said, look what I've done? We'll get into that next week. God's word has been preserved. It's there. The question is, what are people going to do with it? Let me give this last profound statement and then we're done, because I know we're late. And I know the third letter in the file is headed there. I'm just kidding. Someone got after me about that one time. Can you lighten up a little? Loosen your... Well, no one wears ties anymore, hardly. Loosen your collar. God's word has not been lost. It just needs to be found by... people! That's the problem. Bottom line, I'm going to close the day. We'll explore this further next week. There's a verse in the Bible, John 3:16. I'm going to just lay it out there again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to ask you point blank today, do you believe that verse? I thought I'd hear a rousing, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I wonder if people believe it. But folks, it's there. And just as we learned today, it's for you to either accept or reject. And that's how it goes again down the circle today. But folks, I believe it is God's word. I believe it's provable. See, it's not just what the Bible says. Jesus is also purported to have lived, been hung on a cross, and rose again in secular history. This is not a lie, it's truth. I leave that with you today, but it's not just about salvation. If there's someone here that needs to receive the gift of salvation from the Lord, take it today. Call upon the name of the Lord. Acknowledge your sin. But most importantly, believe he is who he is, the Son of God, but also God. And that he came for you. It's not about a prayer. It's about trust and faith in Jesus Christ. We'll explore this further next time. Is that okay with everyone, or is there going to be a problem? Well, if there's a problem, the problem needs to be looked at in the mirror. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 507. Good questions here in this hymn. You know, last week I saw several people publicly step out for Jesus. Could I challenge us? How's that going after a week's time? Could I challenge you today to step out again? Are you ready to let Jesus have his way with you? I'll tell you what, he wants good things for you today. He wants you to accept him and to walk with him. Maybe there's something today we need to deal with Jesus. Are we ready, Autumn? Here we go. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. There's the key. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. The question is given. The answer is given. The answer is Jesus. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. Take time today to get things set straight with him. Old Pastor Westbrook used to say, are you prayed up? Are you caught up with Jesus? Right, Lonnie? He did. Yeah, it's a good day to evaluate that for you. Step another step into life. Lonnie, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer, please.